interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crone Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And it is a Monday, July 8th, back to work edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live and kicking off on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And a full three-hour tour setting sail from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Busy program today. A lot to discuss. NBA free agency. In fact, I'll get there momentarily, but let's give propers where they are due. We lead the program on a Monday with the U.S. Women's National Team. Got up fairly early yesterday. Began a little pre-celebratory, imbibing for the festivities, and then watched what transpired in Lyon, and it was impressive. And as much as we in this country lament how bad the men are compared to the best in the world, the U.S. women accomplished something pretty incredible. And I wanted to lead off the show giving a tip of the cap. When everybody in the free world expects you to win a tournament, when 7 of the 8 quarterfinalists in said tournament are from Europe and the other biggest powers in the world, respectively, and you still lay waste to the field, you deserve a shout-out at the beginning of this program. 2-0 final, and I was very, very much hoping it would not hinge on the penalty kick. It was kind of ticky-tack. I know it was a high kick from the Dutch woman, but come on now. You don't want it to end one love. Even if it's Megan Rapinoe, I'm glad to see that they got a bit of a wonder goal in the 69th minute and 1-2 love. And yes, it's that time of the year where we're thinking about talking season, where we're excited about SEC Media Days. Our guy RP3 will be there and company as well. All next week from Hoover. The Monday after, we'll both be live from New Orleans, getting ready for Sunbelt Conference Media Day. I will say this. The U.S. Women's National Team, they did a lot of walking. They didn't just talk it. It was impressive. They did it with swagger. They did it with expectations. And I know in the aftermath of the tournament, a lot of discussion about equal pay, $250,000 roughly dollars go to each lady for winning, when it would be $1.1 million to each male if they won. But let's keep it 100%. You don't have to worry about the U.S. men's national team winning the World Cup anytime soon. Why? Because we're a football country. Why? Because we love baseball in this country. Why? Because we freaking invented basketball. Sorry, Canada and James Naismith, but basketball is really one of our bumper crops, our chief sport, if you will. And I'll use that as a transition to get into a little talk about NBA free agency, specifically the Kawhi Leonard decision that happened sometime between Saturday night and Sunday morning. Here's what I will tell you. We have reached a new era. I have been racking my brain since I woke up Sunday morning. And believe me, I would love somebody to call in and tell me who I'm missing here. But for the life of me, I can't think of someone who's left a championship team with that much that could be coming back to said championship team and with legit options financially, beneficial options financially to stay. Sure, I could throw out somebody like Rob Ori, just passing around from ship to ship, winning championships with the Rockets and the Spurs and basically anywhere that he landed, but he wasn't the man. He didn't hijack an entire offseason in a free agency period. And, to my point, at least I think, what we saw with Kawhi Leonard, it's the exact opposite of LBJ leaving Cleveland to go to Miami. The exact opposite of Kevin Durant going from Oklahoma City to Golden State. even the exact opposite of Boogie bailing on $20 million a year to go make like $5 million to play on the Bay. The point is, those cats were chasing rings, and it was blatant. This is different. It's a new era because it's the opposite of ring chasing. Kawhi Leonard to the Los Angeles Clippers, it's not hard to fathom, but I'll tell you this, it's got to be hard to be a GM these days. I mean, what's your selling point if you can't use, we just won a championship, we think we can bring everybody back, you'll be the focal point, and we'll probably get more people to come play with you that are really, really good. I'm not even saying Kawhi Leonard is wrong for doing what he did, but man, he's choosing lifestyle, the opportunity to create something new, I guess, but whoa, what a shakeup. It's just hard to think. Again, Robert Horry left a lot of places, but he wasn't the man. We could think of the Florida / Miami Marlins. They won a bunch of ships, and, well, they had a fire sale. Financially, they couldn't keep everyone around. Toronto had the wherewithal to keep everyone around, bring another piece maybe around Kawhi, and be the favorite in the East. And as Danny Green said before announcing he was going to play in L.A., but for the Lakers, as Danny Green said, sorry, Toronto, that we won't get a chance to run it back. Well, all of you sure as hell had a chance to run it back, but Kawhi did the opposite of ring chasing. It is a new era. All right, let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. T, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I just wanted to say, listen, you know, big-time LSU fans, me and my group, and I just wanted to say that from one of my buddies said, they drained the Chaffalai Basin. I'm getting kind of choked up right now, but they drained that basin. There's no division between LSU and UL. And my group and I would just like to say to the Robichaux family, our condolences and his friends and the UL Nation. Ben, love you, show me.
T. We appreciate you, and much respect, obviously, given there from T, as well as from us, to Tony Robichaux and his family. Understand this. We did an entire program here for 2 hours Wednesday that was dedicated to the breaking news from Wednesday at about lunchtime. And we will have some discussion today. In fact, in our next segment, Jeff Horchek's coming aboard. Jeff came all the way back from Monroe to be at yesterday's service. I do know this. Today, Tony's funeral began at 2 p.m. I had a guest that was lined up, and we decided it wasn't appropriate. We're going to push that back to later in the week. So all the calls that we can get, we will take on Tony Robichaux. And that's a hell of a shout-out right there from a just a dyed-in-the-wool LSU fan showing nothing but respect to Tony Robichaux. So, T, know that we appreciate you, and our sentiments are the same. All right, we'll take one more. Back out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Larry, what's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, Ben?
Just talking sports, brother.
All right, Ben, man. This Kawhi Leonard stuff, and I don't want to. I know people are gonna call, and you know they're gonna at me and all kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, it's not a coincidence because you know ever since Kawhi Leonard, ever since they won the championship, it's always the best player in the league and blah, blah, blah. And oh my God, he's God. And it's not a coincidence that the dude won an NBA championship with LeBron and KD both out of the playoffs. That's the first thing. That's not a coincidence. So
fair.
Before we anoint this guy as the next, as Michael Jordan 2.0, he had a lot of help. I don't hate Kawhi Leonard. I think the dude's awesome. I'm just saying. I think we need to back off the he's the best player in the league nonsense because he's not. That's my opinion. And this dude just straight up used the Lakers and the Raptors knowing he was never going to either one of those teams. Never. I don't think that dude ever had an inclination that he was going to either one of those basketball teams.
I think there was maybe a chance he was going to stay in Toronto. I'll tell you it was probably a slim chance. We've learned now, as long as he could recruit a big-time player like PG-13, he was never going to stay in Toronto. We agree on that, Larry. But I think you're right that there was never a chance he was going to the Lakers. I think there was never even a portion of the pie that was purple and gold there.
And it's crazy that the Lakers would allow Magic Johnson to be their spokesperson.
I agree.
To me, that was the craziest part of the whole thing.
I agree, man. I agree. They just fired him, and then they allowed him to be an ambassador during ongoing trade talks. Larry, I appreciate the call. We got to hit a break. He's absolutely right, though. It's a good call from Larry. Really good call from T as well. And again, I'll touch back on Coach Robichaux in our next interview with Jeff Horchek and throughout the program. I recognize that not everybody was listening on Wednesday, July the 3rd. If you were and you heard, for example, Dan McDonald on this program, you know that a lot of tears were spilled here, and I know they're not done flowing throughout the Acadiana area. Quickly, our guest list today, Jeff Horchek, KNOE, CBS Channel 8 in Monroe. He was down for yesterday's ceremony at the Cajun Dome. And we'll talk with Jeff Horchek on the other side of this break. Ruffin Rodrigue at 5:15. Cody Worsham, LSU basketball. Some of the cats that have made their way to the NBA from Tiger Town. And maybe a little U.S. Women's National Team as well. Cody Worsham at 5:45. And Rob Poole entering year 4 as the head coach of the Lafayette High Mighty Lions football program will be with us at 6:30. So don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Back at the saddle, back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, Clint Domang, bringing you home on 103.7 The Game. And thrilled to head up I-49 to bring on our next guest, even given the circumstances. Aboard the ARTCO Equipment Hotline, we'll bring back now Jeff Horchek, KNOE, CBS Channel 8 in Monroe. Jeff, how are you today?
Good, Ben. How are you, man? Thanks for having me on.
You know, it's a pleasure talking with you, but again, we understand why. And you were here yesterday at the Cajun Dome Convention Center, Coach Tony Robichaux's visitation. For our listeners that haven't read about it, haven't seen it, or even if they have read the reports, how would you describe the scene yesterday?
Well, it was there were a lot of people there. There were hundreds that were lined up to get a chance to pay their respects to his family and get one last look at him. They had an open casket yesterday, and they had a kind of a memorial of them. You know, his jersey's retired at McNeese and UL, and a collage of pictures of him with his family over the years. And it was really a nice setup for Coach Robichaux. When you walked in, too, they had videos playing of a lot of his interviews and Robisms on audio playing as well. So it was a real nice setup there. But obviously it was solemn because, you know, nobody expected him to pass away this early in his life. But, man, what a legacy he left for, you know, college baseball and the whole Lafayette community and Acadiana and everybody that he touched, because he really had such an influence on people. And you know, when people were there, they weren't really talking about baseball. They were talking about how he made them feel, how he encouraged them, how he was such a positive influence on their life, whether it was a former player or a member of the media or just a fan or a friend, a relative, anybody that came in contact with him. In his 57 years, I would say he touched more people in a positive way than most of us may do in 100 years, you know?
Well, Jeff, along those lines, when you got this news on Wednesday, July the 3rd, what was your reaction?
Well, when I had heard initially that he had the heart attack about, 15 days ago or 12 days ago, I was sad, and I said, man, that's a horrible thing. But I thought, like a lot of people, that, oh, he's going to bounce back from this. He'll have a long road to recovery, but, you know, he will bounce back, and he'll be able to get back out there at some point. Just going to be a long road. And then when I heard that he had been sent to Austin, I said, well, it must be more serious than we originally thought. And then it took a turn for the worse, and I heard that his family had been brought back, asked to come back to the hospital. When I heard that, I said, that's not a good sign. So, you know, I've been praying for him like many of others in Acadiana and all across the country who knew him. But, you know, I was saddened because he was such a special person. And, you know, it's sad that he didn't get to hear all this while he was alive. I know he knew that people loved him and all, but the outpouring of love that you're hearing from anybody that came in contact with him over his 57 years is amazing. And it just tells you the type of person he was. I think Coach Robichaux really got it. He understood the meaning of life, and he understood that our life on this earth is very temporary, And you better make sure that you do the best you can to live the type of life you're supposed to live, and helping people and being that guy, so that when you do move on to the next life, you'll be fine. And I think that he's in a better place now, but it's just sad because from a selfish aspect, because he was so loved and everybody loved him. And all the coaches I've covered over the years, he was definitely one of the more special ones just because he was so humble, down to earth. And he was, even though he was great at what he did, his job as a baseball coach, he was so humble about it and such a positive influence, you know, and that's something you just don't see these days as much.
We're talking now with an Acadiana area favorite, Jeff Horchek, plying his trade these days at KNOE, CBS Channel 8 in Monroe. Jeff, I'm going to tell you a story that I heard over the weekend and let you kind of vibe back off it. It blew my mind. Somebody that knew the Robichaux family well told me that Tony's wife, Colleen, by about 2:33 p.m. on that Wednesday the 3rd, about two and a half hours after her husband was pronounced dead, she was calling not just family but friends, checking on them and making sure that they were okay. If that doesn't say everything about her and that family, their character, I'm not sure what would.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Robichaux would say a lot that his wife was really his rock, and that's why he was able to have the type of life that he had, because you know he had three kids and all these grandkids, and he was also an extremely successful college baseball coach, one of the best in the biz, and was able to live the life that he did because of his wife. But you know, their family, they're just people, you know, like a lot of people that come out of Acadiana. I mean, he was born and raised in that Crowley area and grew up in that area. And so they love people. They're relational people. And that's another reason why I think he was so successful, because he had people skills. He was relational and he could get down on people's level and relate to them and help them and talk them through things. And I heard some of his players say that, you know, he never gave up on them because he was always recruiting young guys. And a lot of times when you're young, you do a lot of stupid things, but he never gave up on his players even years later. And I think people felt the love from him. You see all the love that he's getting now. Well, people felt that love when he was alive and he had whatever kind of contact he had with them. And, you know, he was just a very special human being. There's no other way to say it.
Finishing up with Jeff Horchek on 103.7 The Game. How would you define his legacy and what gets passed forward, and not just to Cajuns baseball, maybe not just to Lafayette and Acadiana, but what is Robe's legacy?
Oh, I think he goes down as one of the most successful, obviously, college baseball coaches in the country of all time. And then considering where he was, you know, he had where the program is now, 98% of that is because of him. You know, from the facilities to the program, the respect they have nationally, to the type of players they're able to recruit, is because of what he did. Because if you read back where the program was 25 plus years ago before he got there, it was not a whole lot there. They hadn't had a whole lot of success, and they just weren't able to. They hadn't established themselves as one of those programs that, hey, I want my kid to go there. But that all came from Coach Robichaux and what he built there. He used his system and it worked, and he was able to recruit the type of kids he needed. But I think his legacy will be that he was a great human being, and that baseball didn't define him. You heard him say that. It didn't. His job didn't define him. He knew that his job on this earth was really to lead people to the Lord and to let them know that, hey, baseball is just a small part of my life. And I think he did that well. So apparently it was time for him to move on to heaven, and the good Lord took him. But we will miss him. But he left such a great legacy that he'll always be with us in different ways, you know.
Jeff, I know you got a telecast coming up. Before we let you go, how are you acclimating so far to Fun Row?
Pretty good. Been here almost a month and just getting settled in. Of course, it's the dog days of summer, so it's super hot out here like it is everywhere. But I'm adjusting to my coworkers, the area, my apartment, learning where all the local spots are, the restaurants, the bank, the grocery store, places you got to know, the gym. And my dog Trooper is settling in as well. So we're settling in, but I still miss Lafayette and Acadiana. It was nice to be able to get back and see some friendly faces yesterday. Of course, I wish it would have been over different circumstances, but miss Lafayette, miss Acadiana, love the people there. But we're adjusting here, and we're going to make this our home for a little bit. So, hey, that's the way life goes. But, Ben, it's been great talking to you guys. And, going to miss Coach Robichaux. He was a legend and just a great human being. I'm going to miss my baseball chats with him because I had a lot of those over the years.
Jeff Horchek, KNOE, CBS Channel 8 in Monroe. My friend, thanks for visiting on the program. You ever get a chance to visit on a Thursday, you know where the tap room is. We'll see you there.
Sounds great. Thank you, Ben. Take care.
Got to say thanks to Jeff Horchak. I know that yesterday wasn't fun or easy, right? Coming down 49, holiday weekend for that, and then coming back up. And, again, I'll reiterate this. I'm really glad the T called. I am. Because this wasn't a one-off thing. We didn't have a show where we commemorated a phenomenal life that's going to reverberate for generations beyond that lifetime. I'm glad T called in, because this is something we can carry on, and we should, and we will, for the remainder of the program. So you want to call in on it? You didn't get a chance Wednesday. You didn't hear it? We got time for you for the rest of this hour. 706-0111. What I can tell you is this. Among the guests that we had Wednesday, and again, this was right in the aftermath, within a couple of hours of the announcement that Coach Robe had passed away, Paul Maneri, Ronnie Rance, Jacques Doucet, Matt Roth all joined the program. But I'm going to really suggest to you that if you didn't hear the interview with Dan McDonald and you want to hear one man show his love and appreciation for another and what his life meant, I'll suggest you go to our website, 1037thegame.com, or our free mobile app, click or tap on demand. I think we've even got a story, I know we do, on the front page where you can go directly to it. It was poignant, it was powerful, and I still want to express my thanks to Dan McDonald for sharing his truth on that day. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we've also got a sink or swim question, and it is Kawhi related. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Yelich the favorite, the Milwaukee Brewer with 31 home runs.
Don't forget, this Wednesday, Bumper to Bumper Sports will be out at Cougar Field, home of the St. Thomas More Football Cougars, will be there for the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament. Wednesday will be the smaller schools division. I know, Thursday will be the bigger schools. We'll be at the Taproom River Ranch that day, but both days will be jam-packed with live coverage, letting you know what's happening for your favorite high school football teams when they play 7-on-7, plus interviews with local players and coaches. You don't want to miss it. The fun starts Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. It's B2BS live at the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament, and only on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Back at it. No playing around, just more of the good stuff. Bumper to Bumper Sports, taking you home on 103.7 The Game. Our appreciation to Jeff Horchak. We've got Ruffin Rodriguez at 5:15, Cody Worsham at 5:45. Between now and then, time for us to have a conversation. Phone lines are open. We'd love you to call in some of your thoughts. In fact, our sink or swim question on Wednesday, the last time we had a live show, Clint and I were both inside the 237 Roof Studios. Wednesday, I asked for your favorite Tony Robichaux memories. We got a few submissions on Facebook. We'd love to have some of yours on the program now. So whether you want to call in on Coach Robe or answer the question that follows, just know that the number is 706-0111. All right, CD, we let off. I gave a salute to the U.S. Women's National Team. Second straight victory in the Women's World Cup. Fourth all time. That's the most ever, USA. And we also went in on NBA free agency and the biggest domino to fall. Turns out it wasn't Kevin Durant going coast to coast from Golden State to Brooklyn. Turns out the biggest move was Kawhi Leonard shaking up the NBA. Now, he left us with parity, and I'm thankful for that. He didn't go to the Lakers, but what he did has a lot of people scratching their heads. I've got thoughts on it. I bet you do, too. After the music, I'll get to the question.
Thank you. exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day on this Monday. Do you fault Kawhi Leonard for leaving Toronto? From there, take it wherever you want. But at its root, what I want to know, do you fault the Claw for leaving a champ in Toronto? Again, the number, 706-0111. CD, we're talking basketball, but here's a baseball term. Lead us off.
I got to go with him, a swimmer. I don't fault the guy. I got to sink here, actually. That's what I meant to say. I don't fault Kawhi Leonard at all, man. Because I think that this was something that he probably thought about for a long time, was him bouncing out. That was a big reason why he got traded in the first place to Toronto, because he wanted to go to the West Coast. He wanted to bounce out last season. He had 1 year left on his contract. Regardless of what was going to happen, he probably had it in his mind that he was going to bounce out, and he won an NBA championship in the process. That makes him look a lot better. And that winds up helping him with a bargaining chip to get a guy like Paul George to come on over. So I don't fault him at all. That's money, man.
Everything you just said makes sense. And understanding the way that NBA free agency works, I also am going to sink, comma, but. The problem for me is, what is your recourse if you're Toronto? The answer, of course, is nothing. But what are you supposed to do differently? What are you supposed to do in addition if you're Toronto? My mind is blown by this. And, Clint, your point is exactly right. This was something that Kawhi almost certainly had in mind a year and a half ago. You know, this move was in mind the moment that R.C. Buford, Greg Popovich and company thought they were shipping him to the NBA's equivalent of Siberia. I mean, seriously, they got him the hell out of the Western Conference. They sent him north of the border. Nobody was sweating Toronto. And it's a good point that Larry made earlier. Kawhi won this championship without LeBron, without KD in it and fully healthy. But he still won it, and he is now a two-time finals MVP, and he's done it with different franchises. Kawhi Leonard deserves an awful lot of respect, and I think he's commanded it. Is he the best player in the NBA? No. Is he top five? Yes. Where is he between two and five? It's up to you. Also depends on if Kevin Durant's healthy for that conversation, in my opinion. But the guy deserves to be up there with the best of the best doing it right now. And he also deserves his druthers and where he wants to go in free agency. Here's the other thing I fully recognize. I know that on this program and across the country, Kevin Durant was crucified, figuratively speaking, for leaving Oklahoma City. So when you leave to chase a ring, yep, we're going to get you. I don't want to go too far on the other side of the fence. And hey, when you leave to chase professional aspirations and a lifestyle and go back to your hometown, yep, we're going to get you too. Because then you're absolutely damned if you do, damned if you don't. I get that conundrum, and I'm trying to be respectful of it. And I don't have as much contempt and scorn. Like, I didn't wake up yesterday morning feeling the same way I did when Kevin Durant made his announcement to first go to Golden State. But it is still a head-scratcher, and it is still tough. They just won the Larry O'Brien Trophy. That just happened within the last month. I didn't make that up, right? And so what kind of made it all come full circle to me, and again, full disclosure, I wasn't up when it happened. I think it was like 12:30, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time when they came to this conclusion. It's a wild night. There was an earthquake, a UFC fight, NBA Summer League in Vegas, and then boom, here comes this news. I woke up Monday morning to the news that it would be Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers. And then I saw Danny Green announce he was going to the Lakers. And in that announcement, Danny Green said, it's a shame that it shook out this way. And I want to say I'm sorry to Toronto that we're not going to be able to run it back. That struck me as just extremely odd. Extremely. And that's why I led off the show today saying what I did. We're in a new era.
Yeah.
It used to be it was just ring chasing. Culmination of Super Friends teams. Go find your banana boat brethren and win a ship if you haven't yet. Or win a ship for your bro that doesn't have one yet. He doesn't have the bling that you do. This is different. This is, I'm leaving a proven winner that has the NBA Coach of the Year and, in fairness, an easier path in the Eastern Conference. Look, I know the Sixers are good. I get it. The Heat just landed an all-NBA caliber player. I know that Brooklyn's going to be legit sooner than later. Boston's still at least somewhat formidable. I get it. The East isn't complete hot garbage. But the Raptors would have ruled the roost there. So for me, yeah, I defend the guy's right to go. So yeah, I'm going to sink here. I don't fault him for leaving, but man, I try to put myself in the shoes of management and ownership, head coach even at Toronto. What the hell else am I supposed to do in that situation? I mean, Paul George went to Oklahoma City a couple years back, and it was seen as a rental year, right? You got to prove it. Frankly, if Anthony Davis had landed anywhere but the L.A. Lakers this offseason, it would have been the same thing. Proof that I should stay there once I have a choice. Oklahoma City thought they did that with PG-13. Now they're left with Russell Westbrook, who apparently they might trade, and a whole bunch of unprotected first-round draft picks. It's tough out there in the NBA streets. It's real tough. And if Toronto didn't prove to Kawhi that he should stay by, you know, winning a championship, the franchise's first ever, I'm just not sure what else they could do. So I feel for Toronto in this situation, frankly. But it's the NBA. And at least we're going to have some parity. At least it's not Kawhi, AD, and LeBron. That's not exactly the NBA world I wanted to wake up into. And I haven't, so I'm thankful for that. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Chad, your thoughts on our sink or swim question.
Ben, I love the move, man. Kawhi is different. That's just it. He's going back to Southern California, his hometown, man. Why would you go coach behind Saban to be the next coach? Why would you go to the Lakers and Kobe and LeBron are there? Set your own legacy at Golden State. He's going to stay there the remaining of his career. And he's probably going to win a couple championships, if not more than two. I think that's a brilliant move, man. He went home. He doesn't have to wear a coat anymore. He can go in shorts, T-shirts, pants, whatever you want, and he's home, man. And he's not the whole LA thing I never got. Why go behind LeBron? Why go behind Kobe? Set your own legacy at Golden State, my brother. Later.
Well, you mean the Clippers, but your point is still taken. You mean the Clippers. And, hey, you know, fair enough. And I said it in the lead, I reiterated it just now, he chose a lifestyle. We'll take some more calls on this subject. 706-0111, do you fault Kawhi for leaving Toronto? Chad doesn't. Neither do Clint or I, but I'm hedging my bet a little. It's just kind of in my nature, as you probably know, for almost 4.5 years of this program now. I get it. And I'll share as much of a relatable experience as I can. My mom has told me for decades now, and she's one of the most business savvy people I know, you don't choose a job, you don't necessarily even choose a career, you choose a lifestyle. And so it's this job in this city, working for and with these people, being close to these people who may be friends or family for you, with these kind of hours, with those kind of benefits. Yeah, it all factors in. Now, the money in Toronto was as good as probably it could have been anywhere. So going to the Clippers wasn't a move for the moolah. And he was playing with, among others, Spicy P, Pascal Siakam. I think everyone could recognize one of the better young up-and-coming front court players in the league. They had a nucleus that could have won a lot more in Toronto. But to Chad's point, when I talk about choosing a lifestyle, something, again, that my mom instilled in me for a long time, before I even got out of high school, you're going to choose a lifestyle. Yeah, Kawhi's choosing to go back near people that he loves, family, friends, that grew up in the L.A. area, played college at San Diego State, so he didn't hoop too far away from, you know, his professional home's not far from his collegiate home. But yeah, the weather, I could see that. And sometimes in professional sports, that's a little overrated because you play half your games on the road anyway. You live in hotel rooms. You live on planes. Still, to have half that time in L.A., hard to complain about it. So, Chad, I dig it. We'll take more calls on the other side of this break. Trust that we'll be back in. We'll keep talking NBA free agency. I also want to get to a recent addition to Palmieri's LSU baseball staff. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in post-haste on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Woo!
with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, back for more B2BS, just about 10 minutes to 5 o'clock. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. More time for your phone call, 706-0111. Would love for you to chime in if you haven't had a chance. I understand that Thursday we were off, Friday we had a best of, so if you missed this Wednesday, again, you want to weigh in, your heart is heavy in regards to number 36, Tony Robichaux. We got time for you on that front. You can answer our sink or swim question of the day. Do you fault Kawhi Leonard for bolting and leaving the world champs and the Toronto Raptors? Or you can go in on this next subject. And it was revealed late yesterday by D1Baseball.com. Sean Ochinco out for LSU baseball. Eddie Smith in. And this becomes interesting. The main reason? We're still under the same constraints and restrictions with the amount of paid coaches on a collegiate baseball staff. And so LSU is technically losing out. Again, no firm word yet where Sean Ochinco is going, but he did confirm to a number of outlets, including Tiger Rag, Ochinco, the former LSU Tiger, that he's not going to return to the program next season. He just completed, Ochinco did his second year on the job as a volunteer assistant and hitting coach. Again, we kind of foretold this, and it didn't take a Mensa candidate to figure out after LSU lost to Florida State in Super Regionals, if you want to keep your job, which I don't think Maneri was ever really in dire, you know, probability of losing, but if you want to keep the crown and things aren't great with some of the natives, then yeah, a lot of times you got to cut bait below you. We've seen it time and again, not just with LSU baseball, but all over the place. And so we thought there might be new blood in the coaching staff, and we're learning now that there will be. Eddie Smith, most recently Tulane's recruiting coordinator and hitting coach, is going to replace Ochinco. He will be, according to D1 Baseball, LSU's new volunteer assistant, and he will, in fact, serve as hitting coach. According to a report by James Moran, TigerRag.com, Smith, well-respected in the baseball community, he spent the last three seasons as a full-time assistant at Tulane. He's a Washington native. He played his college ball at Notre Dame, where he played for Paul Maneri for 2 years and helped to lead the Fighting Irish to two Big East Conference championships, and they made the NCAA tournament once as well. Smith began his coaching career under Brian O'Connor at Virginia. And it's worth noting that O'Connor, well, he was under Maneri at Notre Dame as well. So you're starting to see a little bit, I guess, of how that baseball coaching tree has evolved and how it has grown. And so there you have it. Eddie Smith, who played for Paul Maneri, coached under a Maneri disciple, has been at Tulane recently. He'll come over and serve as LSU's hitting coach. And yes, that's the area where the Tigers presumably could use the biggest bump. They've got a recruiting coordinator. They've got a pitching coach. Now, LSU baseball has a new hitting coach. And I'll say it before any of you need to, before any of you feel the need to on social media or aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, now there are no excuses. Yes, I smelled that response a mile away. But LSU baseball adding to the staff Sunday afternoon leading into Sunday evening. Clint, I find it interesting, and I'll read some of the responses maybe in our second hour that we're getting right now on Kawhi Leonard. But let me say this. It's my sincere observation that Kawhi Leonard, taking as long as he did to announce that it's the Clippers, was solely based on Paul George agreeing to what he did, and the Oklahoma City Thunder finding out a way to get some form of equivalent value out of this deal. If Paul George or another superstar wasn't going to join him with the Clippers, I think he was going to stay with Toronto. So I know we had a caller earlier. I think it was Larry that suggested it was always going to be the Clippers. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. I think it was always not going to be the Lakers. But I think he was waiting on Paul George to make that final decision. You combine those guys with Patrick Beverley, and all of a sudden, like our guy in Arrested Development would say, Carl Weathers, baby, you got a stew going.
And they really do have a stew going when you just look at the Clippers. And it's weird. I know this is kind of parroting what Jim Rome said, but I think it works really well. It's like, look at him 2 years ago. You wound up losing Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, two of the players that seemed like it was just the franchise guys, the cornerstones of that franchise. Now, 2 years later, look what you have now. Two undoubtedly, I'd say, probably going to wind up being Hall of Famers. We can't say their first ballot, but I think they definitely have a strong case. And now they're with Los Angeles, and everything's starting to kind of fall into place.
Paul George finished third, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have it in front of me, in the NBA MVP voting this year. What he did for Oklahoma City coming back off a horrendous injury was wildly impressive. I know he was 2 years removed from that injury, but still, if you watch what he did that Friday night, almost 2.5-3 years ago for Team USA, it was icky to the highest degree. I believe he finished third, is that correct?
Yeah, he finished third. It was about 355 votes.
So Giannis, then James Harden, and then
Paul
PG-13, yeah. Right? So, I mean, these are two guys that are at the top of their powers right now. They're teaming up for a guy who certainly is in the top 5 to 10 coaches in the NBA, I think we can agree, in Doc Rivers. So I think they've got a real chance to be the better of the two franchises in L.A. And, yes, I'm tickled pink about that. I'm sure everybody that supports the New Orleans Pelicans is tickled pink about that. While the Lakers stockpile the Boogie Cousins of the world, yeah, you know, the guy that's making $8.8 million, right, in a two-year span when he could have made 40. Yeah, that guy with no ring so far. While they're stockpiling the likes of Boogie Cousins and Danny Green, Clippers have got something going all of a sudden. And the Raptors, they're left held in the bag. And, yeah, I do feel for them just a little bit. But in the cutthroat world, that is the association, them's the breaks. All right, CD, let's get down to business. Let's get down to one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Blasphemy! At least I think it probably will be to Houston Astros fans. If you haven't looked at what Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals catcher, has been saying about Jake Mariznick, and what he is deeming an intentional attack on former Raging Cajun, current Angel catcher Jonathan Lucroy. Oh, boy, you got to go check that out. It started in Spanish. I can translate it for you. It's real bad, and he ain't happy with Jake Mariznick. We'll touch on that more in hour number two, but I think Astros fans would call that blasphemy. Jake Mariznick, pretty upstanding MLB and just all-around U.S. citizen. But Yachty went after him. Blasphemy, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They are your final stop to fill the stomach and tank when you head home on Maurice Avenue. We got 2 hours to go. Ruffin Rodri, Cody Worsham coming at you in hour two. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the... We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. 1 hour down, two more exciting hours to go. You've got Bumper to Bumper Sports, Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D, live on 1037 The Game. And always, well, you know, except for Thursdays and Fridays, broadcasting for the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We'll have Ruffin Rodrigue aboard in about 12 minutes, Cody Worsham at the bottom of the hour. Lafayette High Mighty Lions football fans. We got your head coach, Rob Poole. He'll join us at 6:30. I'll start with a little bit of a different angle in hour two. Those that just joined us, I went in a lot on NBA free agency in our opening hour. Talked about the U.S. Women's National Team striking gold yet again for the second straight Women's World Cup. And then a shakeup on the LSU baseball staff. Sean Ochinco out. Eddie Smith, recently of Tulane, in as volunteer assistant and hitting coach. But I do want to get to a lot of what Jeff Horchek touched on in hour one. Horchek, formerly of the Acadiana area, he's up in Monroe. He came back down for yesterday's visitation in the Cajun Dome for former Cajuns baseball head coach Tony Robichaux. Earlier today, athletics director Dr. Brian Maggard met with the press. I think it's important that we play some of this and kick it your way. You want to respond to any of this? Same offering that we gave in hour number one. If you want to give your favorite memories of number 36, Coach Tony Robichaux, we got time for you. Had a really impassioned call from T earlier. Anybody else that wants to get that off of their chest, that wants to kind of console the rest of Cajun Nation, I think it would do everyone some good. 706-0111. While we wait on some of those potential calls, again, here was what Dr. Brian Maggard had to say to media members earlier today. First off, he reflected on yesterday's visitation and the tribute that it was to the man.
Well, you know, for me, it was certainly a great tribute to a great man. You know, not remotely surprised by the number of people who showed up for his visitation. And, just reinforced the number of people that he touched, whether directly or indirectly, you know, through his role as a great husband, a great father, a great man, and a great coach.
And for those that missed our opening hour, yesterday was the visitation. Today, up until 2 p.m., extended visitation at Our Lady of Fatima. I know that the funeral began at 2. And probably at about the time we're talking to you now, if not a few moments ago, Tony Robichaux is set to be buried in his hometown of Crowley. Again, all of this was publicized, but part of the reason I know this, we had a special guest lined up today that really wanted to and still does want to speak to the memory and the life of Tony Robichaux. We agreed to kick that can down the road just a little bit. So later in the week, I'll make sure that we bring him aboard. And again, I'll tell you about that when the time's a little more appropriate. The other thing that I mentioned in hour one, along these lines, I had a conversation this weekend with somebody very much ingrained in the UL baseball family. And this shouldn't have surprised me, but when you just hear this kind of thing, it jars you. And the story basically said that Tony's widow, his wife, Colleen, within a couple of hours of learning of her husband's passing, so by 2:33 o'clock on Wednesday, July the 3rd, she was reaching out, not just to family members, she was reaching out to friends of Tony's and their families, reaching out to people in the UL baseball community, and checking on them. I heard that story Saturday mid-morning. I don't mind telling you that it stuck with me for the entire weekend, and that's the reason I bring it up today. That speaks to the kind of people, the character of people that the Robichaux family are. And along those lines, Brian Maggard echoed a lot of the same. He was blown away and continues to be by the Robichaux family's strength.
Well, their strength has comforted me, to be honest with you. It's a situation where, you know, when you look at the family and know how close they were, and to see, you know, we know they're hurting, we know they're sad, but to see the level of comfort that they have, knowing where their husband and dad is, I find that very comforting.
Let's get some more from UL Director of Athletics, Dr. Brian Maggard. Again, he met with the press earlier today. Here he gives you reactions from student-athletes, and again, that's something that kind of cuts both ways because obviously they want to be there for them, but they know just what they're going through, and now for almost all of them, school is out. And so this is a time when a lot of people are coming back to campus and coming to grips with the reality that their mentor has passed.
Initially, when I spoke with them over the weekend, I think they were still in shock, like most of us were at that time. You know, it's one of these things, I think over time it will continue to hit us a little bit more. And I told each of them when I spoke to them that I think there'll be different milestones as we progress through this. You know, the first for them being when they come back in the fall, you know, and Tony Robichaux isn't there. But again, I told them that we are here for them, we love them, and we will help see them through this.
And you want to talk milestones? Clint and I had one at the end of Wednesday's show, and I promise you, this is going to happen over and again. I don't believe it should be a sad thing. It should be a kind of glad tidings and remembrance of a man and what he brought to us. But Clint, again, accidentally stumbled into the phrase
It is what it is. Like, basically.
I'm telling you, the man left such an imprint that in a lot of ways we speak his language. But we had that moment. You said that, completely unrelated, and boom, there we were both thinking of Coach Rowe.
Exactly.
Those are the type of milestones. It's not just games played. It's not just first fall ball practice. It's not just first win, first loss, first conference championship, what have you. Yeah, those are things that I guess those are mile markers in the more official sense, but you're going to have so many reminders of the man. Again, I think that's part of what's being spoken to there. And more from Dr. Brian Maggard. He was asked the same question that I just posed to Jeff Horchek less than an hour ago. What's the legacy moving forward for Tony Robichaux?
He's a man of great faith and great principles. And what I think I loved about him as much as anything is how consistent he was. He never wavered. He had principles. He was not afraid to share those principles. He stood by those principles. And he, as he talked the talk, he certainly walked the walk.
One more from Dr. Brian Maggard. And I think this is what a lot of people, and it's hard to kind of wonder really about the future of necessarily the program. And that's not what he was really addressing here. It's how do the people within the program move forward? Here was the answer from Dr. Maggard.
Well, I think, you know, we're gonna capture one of Tony's taglines, and that is prepare to progress. You know, we're going to do that. And that's what he would want. That's what I know, you know, whether it was a Lynn Williams or other members who we've lost, you know, from this family, they would want the Raging Cajuns to move forward and to progress. And we're going to do that. But we're going to do it together. It's not something that will happen overnight. You know, we'll be sad. We'll miss Tony for sure. And all the others that we've lost, but we will move forward together. We'll get through this together, but it will take some time. It will take some time, but we are all going to prepare to progress.
And it's not time yet to wonder about what's next for the program as far as who sits in that chair, but I completely side with Ronnie Rance, our friend who joined us Wednesday on a tough and emotional show. Whenever the time does come for that conversation, Ronnie said people may be surprised by just how qualified and how high caliber of names are going to be interested in helping to take the baton from Tony Robichaux and take this program that he put on the pedestal that he did.
Exactly. I think you're just going to have to find somebody that's going to wind up being of the same kind of value that Tony Robichaux was, about being more about the student athletes and turning them into men, as opposed to, you know, we see with some coaches where it's all about the sport itself. And mind you, I think Maggard's knocked it out of the park when look at a lot of hires he's had. Billy Napier, Jerry Glasgow, Lance Key, a lot of these guys. I think we're going to see something really cool down the line.
There's no question. And again, it's not time for that yet, but yeah, that's probably put it best. As Robe did, even in life after death, it is time to prepare to progress. All right, we'll take our first break of hour one. We've got our good friend Ruffin Rodri coming aboard on the other side. As we head to that break, don't forget we've got another Houston Astros weekend getaway coming at you. These sweepstakes, all season long, powered by Lafayette Roofing and the A-Loft Houston downtown. It's free and easy to enter. You just go to 1037thegame.com. You'll see all kind of signage for it. When you go to the clubhouse, you'll be entering to win four tickets to a Saturday and a Sunday game, plus a one-night hotel stay at the A-Loft Houston downtown. The next getaway sweepstakes, August 3rd and 4th, you can watch the Astros against the AL West rival Seattle Mariners. Pretty cool stuff. All right, we'll be back bringing Ruffin with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on The Game Hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Right back in. You're listening to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Our next guest you hear every Monday in this time slot. He's the owner of Rufino's on the River. One heck of a place to celebrate life in Acadiana. And Ruffin, as we bring you back aboard, unfortunately, well, we lost a legend since we spoke with you last. But that leaves us to celebrate what was a tremendous life and an impactful one from Tony Robichaux.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. You know, it's a such a number one. I was shocked when I learned he was 57. I mean, he just seemed wiser and older than, you know, he was such a legend. He accomplished so much in such a at such a young age. I mean, if you compare to a Skip Bertman, who coached well in to his, you know, in his 70s, you know, Tony Robichaud at a young age accomplished as much as a coach can accomplish at a mid-tier school. And, you know, and like he said, you know, he told something to my uncle G.A. Rodriguez, who's the captain of the football team in 74, 75. And they were doing some food for the spring, the football team, but they walked over to the baseball stadium. He was on the field. And one of the quotes he said, he goes, "I don't determine success or whatever for my baseball players on wins or losses, the batting average power rankings and all that." He said, I base it on how many of my kids are happy in life and have a great career and a great family and great faith. And it stuck with my uncle. And that's who Tony Robichaud was. He was the leader of young men who groomed them for the real world, and he succeeded at it.
He meant a whole heck of a lot off the field, as you just referenced, Ruffin. And I know that you probably had a pretty good grasp of what the UL, what used to be the USL football program, is about. But from a distance, those years that you were playing in Baton Rouge, a businessman just in Baton Rouge, how did you view the baseball program that Tony was running at UL?
I mean, he was respectful as anything. Like I said, he and Coach Bertman had a great relationship. And, you know, they had some great battles. I mean, from the throwing in the bat, you got thrown in the bat in the dugout and going to those games, they were magical, man. It's fun to see the competition, especially in the minor sports. You know, in football, it's a whole different game because it's all about big money and, you know, big ticket items and big players, and, you know, it's just hard to compete with mid-tier when you get up to the SEC. But in baseball, man, anything's game. Basketball, all these the minor sports. It's softball. Look what they've done. And Tony, you know, he led a path for all those sports to succeed. Look at the stadium that was built.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that tells you everything right there, man. That's one of the best stadiums in college baseball. And it's all Tony Robichaud. So sad to lose a guy that early in his life, but he's in a better place. The guy was as faithful a Christian as anybody I ever met, and he's in a great place.
Talking shop with our man Ruffin Rodri on 103.7 The Game. I'll switch topics. And our buddies in Baton Rouge on the morning show, Jordy Collada, T-Bob Hebert, that's off the bench, ESPN 104.5, 104.9. They had Joe Burrow this morning, and one of the things he said, again, a very confident interview from a guy that we know is very confident, Joe said that the Manning Passing Academy proved to him that he could throw it with anybody around the country. How do you respond to that?
I didn't get a whole lot from the people that were there that talked a lot about Joe. Everybody was wowing over Trevor. I almost said Trevor Maddich.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence was the hit from everybody I talked to. I mean, 6'6", you know, just has a cannon. You know, unlike any other, he said he can. You know, Eli and Peyton were just in awe of him. So they say he's NFL ready right now. He's got 2 years left. Joe is big, man. He's a big boy. I mean, and he's tough. I would hope. You know, I don't want him lowering his shoulder this year. I want him to go out of bounds or skid on the surface because, you know, I mean, we got a great backup, but you know, he needs to stay healthy. And he can throw it, man. I mean, and the thing is, look, we saw it with the quarterback that just got drafted for New England.
Danny Etling?
Before Jeff Etling, you know, he leaves LSU. He goes to the pro day, and he's throwing the ball better than he's ever thrown it. And he says, "Oh, I found my, you know, they taught me a different groove. I went to get a coach. What took you so long, man? What happened? You know, we lost Alabama 2 years in a row because you couldn't throw. And all of a sudden you can throw, and now you're in the NFL. But Joe is, you know, he's so the progress of, it's like a pitcher, you know, finding that groove. When a pitcher can't get the groove and he doesn't have the velocity and you don't understand. Same thing with a quarterback. It's finding that angle of the throw that makes you feel comfortable in the repetition and the habitual practice. And, you know, with Brady and Ensminger, both quarterback coaches, and you know, the short game is going to be huge for him, the touch pass and the quickness of it. And that's what, you know, Miles Brennan really excels at. But, man, Miles Brennan is 6'4", 185 or whatever they list him at. He's got to gain weight. But he's quick. So, Jones, you know, if Joe can get that mid-range pass and that short dump-off pass to these athletes, man, they got the receiving core to take it the distance. So it's going to be fun. And you want to call quarterback with a lot of confidence because the offensive line will feed off of it and really work for you.
Ruffin, I want to make sure I don't close a door that maybe needs to stay open. Anything else you heard that's of note, whether it's LSU-related or not, from the Manning Passing Academy?
No, I really haven't. You know, it's held in my hometown. It's right after the lineman camp, which my dad hosts a bunch of the lineman guys. And then, you know, the Manning Academy is pretty big. I mean, it's amazing how many campers they have, and the heat of Thibodeau and the you know, Nichols State, and they basically, you know, supply the whole campus. And it's just a great deal for all those guys to learn and take habits from everybody else. So I really haven't heard a whole lot. The only thing I heard was how good Trevor and the guy from Morgan, they said, can really, really chunk it. That's all I really heard. I didn't hear it, but, you know, they said Tua really didn't do much. You know, I have a feeling Tua is going to be, even though he has the best receiving core in the country, he's got to lower his ego a little bit when he gets back on the field. Now, they don't play anybody, Alabama. I mean, look at their schedule. You know, why does anybody want to go to those games? They got to schedule somebody, Ben.
I mean, that's
ridiculous.
I'm with you.
You know, the SEC is how many teams if you looked at the power rankings or the strength of schedule, you got like 8 SEC teams in the top 20, and Alabama's like 55th or something.
You know, the problem is they don't have any incentive to schedule anybody because they now know that all they have to do is win the conference. But here's the other problem. They haven't won the conference twice in this decade, and they've still played for the national championship game. So
yeah. They
get the benefit of the doubt, Ruff. You know that.
I know. And what really blows my mind is driving around Baton Rouge and Lafayette and seeing some of the Alabama stickers, some of the bandwagon fans that we have around here, man. Drives me crazy. They could take that Roll Tide, and you know what?
I say it on this show all the time. The ones that were Michael Jordan fans, then became Kobe fans, and now love LeBron, I could do without them as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's be Zion fans.
There you go. Time to flock up. Ruffin, always fun to do this. I'm looking forward to getting back out on Friday. Thank you, man.
Sounds good, Ben. You have a great day.
You as well. Ruffin Rodriguez, owner of Rufino's on the River. There is one thing he said there that I'm not sure is going to happen. I wasn't going to interrupt the interview. Ruffin said he hopes that Joe sidesteps out of bounds as opposed to taking some of the contact. I don't know that that's going to happen. Number one, I don't think it's in the kid's DNA. Scratch that. I know it's not. Number two, Tommy Moffitt told us about 5 or 6 weeks ago in this program that Joe Burrow came to them when this offseason began post-spring and said, I want to pack on some pounds. I want to do it in a healthy way, but I want to get ready to take on all the contact that's coming, not just behind the line of scrimmage, but ahead of it. I think they're going to run that kid, and I think he wants to buy into that role. We got Cody Warsham coming aboard in about 18 minutes. Between now and then, We throw in shade. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
I'm Jeff Biggs.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Awesome to be back, just to see all these guys. It's going to be a lot of fun, and just super excited to be here and be able to take part in this great event.
Alex Bregman back to the All-Star Game, and the former LSU Tiger will compete tonight in the Home Run Derby. I actually believe he's going to be one of your favorites. He faces off with Los Angeles Dodger Jock Peterson in the first round. So Breg's in the annual back contest, and then tomorrow night, he will play for the American League. And wow, is their lineup absolutely stacked. We also learned today Justin Verlander will start, get the nod for the AL side. He just pitched on Saturday. Yeah, he gave up three home runs, lamented, and that's saying it politely, about the state of the juice baseball. But yes, even after a recent appearance, Justin Verlander will basically be an opener for the All-Star Game, but that's all anybody has really ever done for any All-Star Game since, like, I don't know, 1985 probably. Enough of that. Time for your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, and the standing seam metal awnings. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings while Todd puts up your patio covers in those gorgeous, customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center are ready to up your patio game, and they could do it before the World Series. Wouldn't that be something? If the Stros were in it, you're grilling outside, you got the best patio game on your block, that dream could become a reality. Just go to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Bit of a twofer today with one always planned and another that's, well, more recently come onto my radar. Let's go with the always planned. After Paul George, yeah, that's the part of the Kawhi Leonard thing we kind of are pushing aside, right? After Paul George left Oklahoma City for greener pastures, heading west to the LA Clippers, reality has set in on everyone that watches basketball, that basically lives on planet Earth, that nobody seems to want to play with Russell Westbrook. And it has happened over a period of years. Hard to say it's necessarily his fault, but boy, he's starting to look like the smelly kid at the lunch table. Everyone else is going to eat somewhere else. It was James Harden to Houston. Then it was, let's see here, guy who just won a world championship with Toronto, Serge Ibaka. Then it was Kevin Durant to Golden State. Now he's with the Nets, and now it's, well, Paul George. And so the shade today, I don't know, it's more of a question. Doesn't anyone want to play with Russell Westbrook? Does he play well with others? Or maybe it's Oklahoma City's fault for not structuring this thing right. Who knows? What we do know is this. Russell Westbrook has 4 years and $170 million remaining on his contract, and now there are rumblings that if they're meeting with him yesterday, the Thunder are willing to trade him. More rumblings today that maybe the Miami Heat? Aha! That's why Jimmy Butler went to Dade County. Well, we'll find out. But there's rumblings that the Heat may be a perfect suitor for Russell Westbrook. So I don't know what's going on in OKC. I just know that it ain't good and it seemingly isn't reflecting well on Russell Westbrook. All right, let's go with a newer shade that's found its way into the program. it would be hard for me to read even a censored version of what St. Louis Cardinals, soon-to-be Hall of Fame catcher, Yadier Molina, said about the Jake Marisnyk bang-bang play at the plate with former Cajun Jonathan Lucroy over the weekend. And now with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Lucroy is pretty shaken up about it. He has made it back to Lafayette, by the way. That was confirmed today for Coach Robichaud's funeral. But during this process, there have been a number of players, especially catchers, like Lucroy, that have spoken up. Yachty went on an absolutely hellacious Instagram rant where he used the full-out Spanish word for BS. He went with a word that starts with F and had a three more letters after it in Spanish. I mean, he was just brutal, saying that he's praying for Lucroy, but that this is, again, horse bleep, and that the MLB needs to clean it up. Here's where the shade gets interesting and relates to the Astros. Carlos Correa, oh, by the way, a fellow countryman of Yadier Molina. I do speak Spanish, and so I can give you this translation loosely. Yadi, brother, you have my ultimate respect always, and you know that. Jake did not do this intentionally. You know these decisions take millimeters or fractions of a second, and Jake decided to go inside at the same time that Lucroy went inside. To say that Yadi didn't receive that well from his fellow countrymen would be an understatement. Basically said, I'm going to go break up a double play on you soon, and whether I meant it or not, well, then again, some nasty things that I can't say on radio. So Yadier Molina making the All-Star break all about himself, going after Jake Marisnyk. Then he wants a piece of Carlos Correa. I swear, if he touches just one precious hair on Alex Bregman's head, all of Clutch City and Rake City are coming after him.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Hey, and I'm a Cardinals fan, as you know. Some of that stuff from Yachty was hard to read. It's like I've been telling you, you may not like the politics of your favorite singer, your favorite author. You got to get through it. If you love their work, just take that for what it is. Yachty, I love watching you snap throw to first base and mow people down. I didn't need to see some of this. All right, we're coming right back and bringing Cody Worsham with us. LSU basketball, Cavell Bigby-Williams, his future, and a little U.S. Women's National Team as well. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, winding down our 5 o'clock hour with you next on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. Time to talk some basketball. Probably a little bit on the pitch, some soccer as well. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game, and we will wind down our second hour in style. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, doing a great job, I believe, entering year two as the digital media reporter for LSU Sports. He is Cody Worsham. Cody, I lose track of time every single day. You've been doing this job for a while and doing it well. How long has it been?
It's not quite a calendar year yet, but it is kind of entering year two, so I'm actually working on a year in review column right now, kind of looking back on my favorite moments from my first year on the job. So it is kind of that point of year where you turn the page, but technically the anniversary sometime in August. So still got a few more weeks until we hit the 1 year mark officially.
Very good. All right, I've got my orientation. I will get to the U.S. Women's National Team, I promise. I know you follow that like a hawk, but
beautiful.
Let's talk former LSU Tigers making their way into the NBA. And I'm not sure that everybody saw this coming. Maybe you did. Cavell Bigby-Williams, two games, two double-doubles for the Pels. Now, that's not going to equate to automatically making the roster, but at a minimum, Cody, out in Vegas, this guy's making a name for himself, even if it's for a different franchise maybe down the road.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty shocking as we're sitting down to watch the debut of Zion Williamson in the Summer League, a short-lived debut it turned out to be. And then all of a sudden, Cavell Bigby-Williams is in the layup line, and so we're kind of scrambling. I don't think anybody really knew about it. The last we had heard he had signed an Exhibit 10 contract. I think that's what it's called, Exhibit 10 contract with the Charlotte Hornets. I guess they let him go at some point, and so he was able to get on with the Pelicans. You know, I'm not surprised necessarily. Cavell's game is kind of perfectly suited for the type of basketball they play in the summer league. He runs the floor so hard. I mean, it's really crazy to watch. You know, it was fun to watch in college to watch him run the floor. But in the summer league, he's just like a jet going up and down. I mean, he's moving faster than everybody. He's moving faster than the guards. So it suits him. It's up and down. It allows him to crash the glass on one end, to run to the rim on the other and get a bunch of dunks. I'm proud of Cavell. I'm glad he's making the most of his moment. He's kind of the perfect teammate. He erases all your defensive mistakes. He cleans up your offensive mistakes. He's easy to pass to. I think he's, you know, we'll see what he turns this into. Hopefully he can turn it into maybe a two-way deal where he has some solidity about what he's going to be doing next year. But, you know, even if just the looks, I think just the exposure that he's getting is pretty valuable, and he's making the most of it.
According to Rod Walker, the Advocate, Cavell Bigby-Williams had one practice and one shoot-around with the Pels prior to playing in that game Friday night. And now he's averaging about 13 and 12. Pels will be back at it tonight, earthquakes pending, against the Bulls in Vegas. What would you tell our listeners about Tremont Waters, his reception, some of the early going for Trey in Boston?
Yeah, he didn't shoot well in the first game. I think he was like 3 of 13 or something, which, you know, Tremont can be streaky with his jumper. But I think, you know, just judging from the Twitter reaction that I saw when I was kind of searching his name on Twitter, Celtics fans really liked him. He played hard defensively. He got some steals. He was diving on the floor for loose balls. That's going to be the area of the floor that Tremont's going to have to prove himself. You know, he's going to score. He's going to make shots. He's going to get crazy assists like he did where, I don't know if y'all saw this, but I tweeted it out. He threw an assist off the backboard in the half court that was just so audacious and so Tremont Waters. It was phenomenal. But all that stuff he's going to do, he's going to have to show that he can guard and not be a liability defensively because of his size. You know, the game's getting bigger at the guard spot and smaller at the big spot. And so, you know, he's 5'10", 5'11", on a good day and tall shoes. He's going to have to show that, you know, he can make some plays defensively to where, you know, when he is mismatched in terms of size, he can make it full with steals and deflections and being disruptive. And he did that in the first game. I think Celtics fans really like that. And if he can do that, he's got a chance to I think, you know, I think he'd probably be a shoe-in for a two-way contract. Maybe he can earn a little bit more if he continues to play well.
Talking LSU hoops with Cody Worsham. You can and you should follow his work, lsusports.net. All right, let's get to the current Tigers. And the baton's been passed at the point guard spot, Cody, from Tremont Waters to Javonte Smart. How do you see that transition? And maybe how does it change the way this team operates?
Well, Javonte was excellent last year when Tremont was out over the two games. It was Tennessee at home and maybe Georgia on the road. And Javonte was outstanding in both of those games. And the Tennessee game was just massive. Nazarene only scored a point, and Javonte really put the team on his back. So I think you'll see a lot of that. I think you'll see a guy that get 20 on any given night. I don't think he'll have quite the high number of assists as Tremont, where Tremont was always a threat to get to double digits. But I think he's a guy that can certainly create for others. I think as a whole, the offense is going to look very different. You know, last year, if you looked at Tremont Waters' stats, he was, I think, first in the country, certainly first in the country among players of his usage rate in terms of points created out of the pick and roll. Everything LSU did basically ran through the pick and roll with Tremont Waters. I think they'll still do a lot of pick and roll this year, but I think you're going to see with Skyler and with Javonte guys who are a little bit more careful with the ball, a little bit less high risk, high reward. I think you'll see more motion concepts. I think you see guys moving off the ball. I think you'll see more off-ball screening. I think that suits the skill sets of, you know, not only the two guards, but Darius Days, who I think will have a bigger role this year. You know, the guys that they've brought in, Trenton Watford, I think you can run some offense through him. James Bishop, I think, who's going to score a lot for them, could certainly play in that kind of system. So they'll still pick and roll a bunch, but I think they'll have some more motion principles. I think you'll see the ball move around quite a bit, more of a hot potato type of action than, you know, where it kind of just sat in Tremont's hands. And I think that'd be good. You know, I think that'll get everyone involved. I think they'll turn the ball over less. I think they'll be more careful with the ball, more protective of the ball, and I think they'll still force a bunch of turnovers. So when you can win that turnover margin more, it sort of benefits you. So it'll look different, but I think Javonte's very, very well equipped to handle it. I think he's been really great this year. I expect big things from him.
Cody, the briefest of follow-ups on Trendon Watford. Does he remind you in terms of style of play of any of the freshmen that preceded him by a year? And maybe in terms of level of impact, does he remind you of what some of those guys brought to LSU?
Yeah, I still haven't seen him in person. I need to go over there and check him out before the summer's over. You know, I think there's going to be a natural comparison to Naz Reid, and I think there's some of that there. I think he's a little bit better putting it on the floor. You know, Naz really struggled when pressure came in on him and he was putting it on the floor and he could kind of turn it over. I think Trenton's got a little bit better body control. He's more suited to his frame where Naz was still kind of adjusting to some weight loss and adjusting to some growth over his last couple of years of high school. I think Trenton's pretty comfortable in his body. You know, it's tough to compare him to anybody. I mean, there's a little bit of young Tasman Mitchell in him. The way that he's relentless, the way that he can crash the boards, the way he can play with the ball in his hands. His jumper is still developing like Tasman's was late in high school, early in college. So there's a touch of that to his game, but he's bigger. He's a legitimate 6'9", and moves his feet really well. So he's a really unique player, and I think he's going to fit in really well with what LSU wants to do.
All right, give us your best on U.S. women's soccer second straight World Cup gold medal. They've done it four times, I believe, since 91. Best ever doing in that sport, Cody.
Oh, they were just dominant, man. I think 26-3 was the final goal tally. I always see my eye being drawn to certain players, and you know, maybe the fact that she shares a name with one of my daughters, but Rose Lavelle was just awesome the whole tournament. I know she got the last goal, but just fun to watch her and how crafty she is. I wonder if we could get her to play for the men's team because they could use a couple of players with their skill level. After they lost to Mexico yesterday, they still have a lot of work to do. So, look, you gave me a layup question here about the women's team, and now I'm getting upset about the men's team. That's on me. But the women were awesome. They were great. It was awesome to see them win, and Rose Lavelle really caught my eye. She's a special player. And maybe I can get my daughter out in the backyard when we hang up, and she could be the next Rose Lavelle.
If she has you as a goaltender, those are some pretty rangy arms and legs, so she'll have to earn it.
Basketball players make the best goalies, I've been told, so I've got a little bit of that in me. So we'll go out there, get the ball out, and see if we can get ready for, what, World Cup 2032, maybe? Is that going to be when she'd be eligible? I don't know. That's math. And, I don't know if I can do math on live radio, but, yeah, we got some work to do.
Yeah, they start getting paid about $35 million like LeBron and KD. And they do across the pond. I get that. But they start getting paid that here. Then the basketball players will do that. Cody, as always, thanks for the time. Fun catching up during the summer.
All right, Ben. Thanks, man.
Almost caught myself there. They absolutely get paid that much, right? Cristiano Ronaldo is not sweating. Well, okay, he is sweating for different reasons, though. Clint's laughing at me right now. All right, pending legal trials notwithstanding, Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi are not sweating money. They're getting plenty of that. All right, we've had plenty of fun. 2 hours in, we got one more to go. When we return, I want to dip back into the NBA free agency waters. Let our 6 o'clock crowd weigh in on Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Also, I've referenced the collision with Jake Mariznick and Jonathan Lucroy a few times. I want to go a little deeper on that. Plus, Justin Verlander being named the AL starter for tomorrow night's All-Star game. Yeah, a little basketball, a little baseball heavy, and then we'll talk football. Lafayette High football with Rob Poole, head coach of the Mighty Lions, at 6:30. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back at it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll into hour 3 of 3. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Join for the next hour by the famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Yeah, the two of us are ready to ride out in this hour. We got a great guest coming aboard at 6:30, Lafayette High football head coach Rob Poole. If you want to join us before then, yeah, we got time. The number to play, 706-0111. Our topics at hand, NBA free agency. Methinks I'll save that for the next segment. CD, we haven't talked a ton of Astros, Major League Baseball, the All-Star Game. Let's dig our heels in there to start hour number three. And before we discuss the All-Star Game, Justin Verlander, Alex Bregman, even an LSU tie-in with DJ LeMahieu, pretty serious AL MVP candidate who'll be batting second tomorrow night for the AL. Before any of that, let's get to the local tie. Saturday, Angels versus the Astros. And Jonathan Lucroy gets absolutely pummeled at home plate. You're whispering over there. Was it Friday?
It was Sunday.
I am losing track of days. Sorry, I've been here, there, and everywhere since July 4th.
Four-day weekend.
Sunday. Apologies. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
Astros, Angels, and former Cajun Jonathan Lucroy. Again, there's some debate whether he leaned inside, not to his fault, but did that maybe help create some of the collision? But Jake Marisnik, rounding third, made a split-second decision. And by all accounts, Lucroy, although he was shaken up, is okay now. Major League Baseball has said they're still reviewing. They're not sure whether there's going to be punishment for Jake Marisnik. Clint, before you and I weigh in, let's let the listeners hear from Houston Astro Jake Marisnik. Here's what he said post-game about the collision with Lucroy.
That was a bad play. For me, I was running, and I see him take a step kind of up the line, like he's going to drop and go back. So I try to take an instep and slide head first on the inside corner. I watched the play again. He just drops right in front of me. And once I kind of made a decision, it was too late. It was a bad play, and I hope he's okay.
Started with, it was a bad play. Ended with, it's a bad play. I hope he's okay. I think there's full recognition, and you could see it in the body language, that there was nothing about that that was pleasing to Jake Marisnik. Certainly the collision, the fact that there was a little bit of head-to-head within it, it looked awful for Jonathan Lucroy, who's in a bit of a defenseless position. I will tell you this, CD, track record does and should mean a lot in these types of situations. If it's blatant, right? Like, I think we all can recognize that, who was it that absolutely, it was Rougned Odor that just beat the you-know-what out of your boy, Joey Bautista's face that day. Well, I don't care if Odor has been a great baseball citizen his whole career. Sometimes it's that egregious, right?
Exactly. It's that one moment in time. I mean, we can talk about that. We can talk about, the biggest reason why, it's just the fact that there's a rule in place for this kind of situation. But I have to agree with a lot of what Marisnik had to say, because Lucroy, it's like he was on one side of the lane. You had to pick a lane. You're not going to bulldoze the guy on purpose. This is not the way I feel like Marisnik or any baseball player in 2019 functions. This isn't Pete Rose trucking a guy during an All-Star game.
No, and I feel for Lucroy in this position. All right, obviously the guy's carted off the field, sent to a local hospital for concussion and nose fracture. It's like Marisnik said, it's a bad play, right? Nobody wins with that. Doesn't matter if he's out, if he's safe. Doesn't matter if he gets the boot during the game, if there's a suspension that follows. Everything about it is bad, all right? And so some of the reaction, and I would suggest overreaction, from Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals catcher, basically speaking out on behalf of catchers everywhere, it's a bit much. And if you missed throwing shade about 25, 30 minutes ago, rewind the track on demand, or just go search Yadier Molina's name on social media. Trust me, you'll find it. You may need a Spanish to English dictionary or translator, but trust me, a lot of the words you find, they won't be in a regular dictionary. So go to SpanishUrbanDictionary.com, and you'll be exactly where you need to be. It's just tough, man, in a situation like that. So what I will say again is that I think track record does matter in a situation like this. If Marisnik has a history of being basically the baseball equivalent of Vontaze Burfict, we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
If he's got a reputation of being a little Manny Machado-like, Machado just spiking first baseman's ankles, running down the line. We saw that a lot last year when he was with the Dodgers. Yeah, we can cry foul and have something to lean back on. The guy's been pretty upright. And so I'm willing to give Mariznick the benefit of the doubt. That said, I don't think there should be a suspension. I also am not wild about the idea of a fine, but of the two, I understand the fine more than a suspension. So if there's a fine, I think it'd be one hell of a gesture that goes toward medical benefits needed by Jonathan Lucroy. I know these guys at the major league level have tremendous medical benefits and team benefits, yeah. But I'm definitely not for a suspension in this case. If there's going to be a fine, okay, fine, but I don't think it should be substantial.
Exactly. It shouldn't be substantial, but it's like you think about it, like Lucroy and not just Lucroy, but the Angels organization as a whole has had probably one of the worst weeks on record, just looking at everything. Obviously, you got Skaggs passing away, what was it, Monday?
Yes.
And then you had the day off, thankfully, then they had the series against the Rangers, and then you have this happen. It's just all the way around. Like you've got a feel for Lucroy for a lot of reasons. I was glad you brought it up during the show. Thankfully, he was able to make it to Lafayette because I know almost certain after that Astros-Angels game, he was going to be heading on over like as soon as possible, but it was just rough to see he got carted off.
I think for a lot of reasons there, it's a good time for the All-Star break to hit. Baseball is just such a grind, and I know at the minor league level it's the same thing, plus bus rides, not plane rides.
Yeah.
It's four-star hotels, and it's the Fleabag Inn. I get it, but still.
And peanuts getting paid.
Yeah, it's a grind, and it just doesn't relent or stop, except for this little period during the regular season. So I'm glad for Lucroy to be able to come down here. I'm glad for Lucroy because of the physical pain and threshold level. I'm glad that the All-Star break came exactly when it did. All right, pivoting from that topic, Stros did take 2 of 3. From the Angels, you've heard the clips during the two-minute drill. Springer, the bit of a walk-off, and the Stros rally back for an 11-10 extra innings win yesterday. So heading into the break, Stros are 57-33, 7.5 games up on the AL West. I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but I saw it over the weekend. I believe the Stros during the All-Star break last year had either 60 or 61 wins. So they're a little bit, Clint, behind last year's pace, but I could promise you this. The Mariners and the A's were a lot closer on the tail of the Astros last year than this year. So my point would simply be, even if they're 3-4 games behind their pace of 2018, they've got more of a cushion within the division. And in a lot of ways, that could be equally, if not more, important.
Oh, exactly. I think it's just huge to have this kind of cushion because we look at the Astros over the last several years, especially since the A.J. Hinch era, and you've seen kind of the process reach its boiling point with the World Series win, you've seen the Astros be able to take control of the division and pretty much put a stranglehold on it, and it's really cool to see what's been going on with that franchise. More importantly, what's happened with the Astros with all those injuries, and they're still able to hit 57 wins. And by the way, last year, Ben, they were 64-35.
Wow, I thought I saw that they were okay. All right.
Yeah, in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were 39-24 in the second half.
I'm a little skeptical, but all right, that's fine. So they had that many wins ahead of where they are now. But again, like we said, a little bit more cushion in the division. Before we hit this first break of the hour, Clint, you put together an Astros at the All-Star break, ups and downs of the first half and a few extra games of the season. I'm going to run through it, and then I'll have some comments. Up. Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole living up to the hype. Yes on Justin Verlander. Sort of yes on Garrett Cole. And I'm not going to keep going down this road. Spin rate and strikeouts are not everything, people. Winning games, awfully important. But Garrett Cole has certainly been a lot better than average. He has been good. I would debate whether he's been great or excellent. The man's an all-star. There it is. All right, down, as you put it. Bullpen has been spotty almost unexpectedly. And it took a little bit of a dive toward the end of this first half. So maybe the break comes at a good time for Roberto Acuña, for Ryan Pressly. They aren't amongst the league leaders in bullpen ERA, and they were about a quarter of the way through this season. Another up that you provided, Yordan Alvarez making a strong case for Rookie of the Year. I don't know about him compared to the rest of the AL rookies, but I know that he has been absolutely fantastic for this club, and he might just be solving the DH dilemma. Another down that you gave, injuries have hurt the team. You put it perfectly in what you said earlier. Carlos Correa is still MIA. At times they've missed McHugh and Springer and Altuve, and, well, the beat just goes on and on. One more up and one more down. Stros before the All-Star break. Up, Michael Brantley, one of the best offseason moves for the Astros. Amen to that. I would say one of the best in all of the AL.
Yeah, I'd say probably almost all the best in all of MLB. The dude has just been like the biggest surprise, like, come up moment. The guy has just not necessarily been at an all-star level throughout his career, but this year has been kind of his moment to take advantage of it. And again, we talk about with a lot of the injuries, he's definitely had the opportunity to keep coming up and keep dominating.
The final down you listed, I'm going to double down on it. The pun, of course, always intended. You listed Corbin Martin done for the year after Tommy John surgery. I'll double down with Forrest Whitley, poo in the bed.
Yeah.
You had two guys on the offensive side, two guys on the defensive side that I think everybody was really excited to see come up. Well, Alvarez has done his thing, and we'll see if they bring up any of the other offensive players. But Forrest Whitley, after last year being suspended due to PED violation, just hasn't had it this year, not even remotely close. And Corbin Martin tasted the show, had a great Sunday start against the Rangers. Then his next three or four were mediocre to worse. Then he went down, and as you said, the Tommy John surgery. So the two best pitchers in the Astros farm system, not exactly what you want so far. All right, we're taking our first break of the hour. When we return, let's get back to NBA free agency. And in about 16, maybe 17 minutes, head coach of the Lafayette High Mighty Lions football team, Rob Poole, joins B2BS. We are Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
I'll touch on the Pels and then right back to NBA free agency. Maybe next to the U.S. women's national team striking gold, it's the hottest thing going in the world of sports. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in. Ben Love, Clint Domingue, taking you home on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open at 706-0111. Chime in when you're ready. The Pels played Friday, played Saturday, dealt with an earthquake, and they opened up Summer League at 1-1. On Friday night, they beat the Knicks 80-74 in a game halted due to aforementioned earthquake in Vegas. Zion Williamson was playing pretty well, but he exited the game with a bruised knee. David Griffin, general manager for the Pels, said in the aftermath that Zion will skip the remainder of Summer League. Again, one of those abundance of caution type of moves. He says that Zion is going to be just fine, and everyone holds their breath, and they just kind of hope so. But back to the NBA. And what's happening in free agency? We thought the biggest domino to fall was going to be Anthony Davis. I'm not sure that it was. I think maybe the combination of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving supplanted AD to LA when those two decided to team up with the New Jersey Nets. I know KD's out for the season. He'll be back. Got a number of years left in his career. But still, all that said, I think the biggest set of dominoes to fall centered around what the Clippers brought in. I really believe that. Los Angeles ultimately didn't woo another big-time free agent. I mean, seriously, Danny Green, Boogie Cousins, bringing back some of the guys like Rajon Rondo. I think J.R. Smith is ready to give up a pinky toe to play for LeBron again. I'm sorry, with LeBron again. Did I say four? So L.A. didn't exactly get a lot stronger after AD was added to LBJ. And we look around the league, other big power plays. Yeah, I get it. Heat made a power play, and maybe they're about to make another. And this could become maybe tied for first of the biggest dominoes. The latest rumbling is that the Thunder might be willing to send Russell Westbrook to Miami to play with Jimmy Butler and the Heat. They'd be pretty darn formidable, especially in the East. But Philly got a lot stronger by retaining most of what they had. I think we could recognize that Boston, even without Kyrie, getting Kemba Walker is pretty darn strong. Number of teams around the league improve their chances. Golden State, they did what they had to. With KD walking, they got D'Angelo Russell, and they locked down Klay Thompson. Pretty good start for Golden State. But I'm going to tell you that I think the biggest domino fell late Saturday night, if not early Sunday morning, because it's a combination. It's a confluence of matters and big-time players conspiring to play with one another. First, we get the news that Kawhi Leonard is bolting the champs, Toronto, to the Clippers. And almost in the same breath, we learn that Paul George is being traded for a million unprotected first-round picks and a Jackie Moon washing machine going from Oklahoma City to the Clippers. The combination of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, along with Pat Beverly, I'm going to tell you there's not a better 1-2-3 in the league. Now, they're going to have to figure it out down below. CD, that is massive, however. And I know later in this hour you're going to give your Eastern and Western Conference favorites for this season, but that is massive.
Oh, it's massive to see what's been happening as of late. And you brought up the fact Russell Westbrook moving over to the Miami Heat.
And that, again, is speculation.
It's speculation, but you got to think, you know, you've lost Russell Westbrook. James Harden been long gone. Now you're potentially going to get rid of him, PG-13, KD. At what point do you consider this potential move to be something more along the lines of you're just saying, you know, let's blow it up and rebuild and stockpile all these first-round picks, as we've seen with what they did with that Clippers trade.
Right.
They wind up doing the same thing with the Miami
Heat.
Yeah,
they're going to want some flesh back for that, not the promise of flesh. Because at some point, they have to field a team for 2019-2020.
Oh, yes, exactly.
And so, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I thought the whole time during the AD trade, I thought to myself, everyone keeps saying, stockpile as many assets as possible. And while I got that, I always kind of thought aloud, wait a minute. They still do have to play games, right? They still need guys on the team now. They preferably could use some George Springer. I know it's baseball to basketball comparison. Yeah. They could use some George Springer-type building blocks. Building blocks. There's those words. Springer was around when it wasn't good. He was an older head when some of these young guns, like a Correa and a Bregman, came around. You have to have guys that give your club culture and identity. That doesn't just come from the top down, the general manager and the coach. Older heads and players do that. And so for me, I was happy to see that even if it were some of the Lakers players I'm not wild about, okay, they got some good, young, potentially exciting building blocks in New Orleans. Oklahoma City's going to have to think along those lines. Because my thinking is this. Even though they would never admit this, I feel pretty strongly that if you told Sam Presti and the powers that be at Oklahoma City, if you told them 48 hours ago,
yeah,
you're going to lose one of the two of Paul George and Russell Westbrook, and we're going to let you choose. Again, they'd have never said this publicly. My gut tells me they say, we'll cut bait on Russell Westbrook. Seriously. And I hate to say that because I'm a huge fan of the guy. I love Russell Westbrook and the way that team used to be. But like you said, they were torn down block by block. But I think it was proven that Russ was becoming somebody that people didn't exactly love to play with. And so in the modern NBA, where you have to have stars that are magnets, Paul George, as I just mentioned, finished third in the NBA MVP voting. Guys love to play with him. I think if he'd have told him 48 hours ago, you can have your druthers, they'd have said, you can have Russ, we'll rebuild around PG-13. Didn't go down that way. Now, they've got that metaphorical gun to their head. They lost PG-13. Russ is what they got, and nobody seems to want to play with him. Fair or not, that's the reality. You mentioned all those names. You forgot Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
Everybody taking the train out of town. And so if they trade him to Miami, if I'm Oklahoma City, you got to give me something back. I know you want to build some kind of big three with Russ and Jimmy Butler. I don't care. Make sure Hassan Whiteside is coming back and a first-round pick. If you want Russ, who has been an NBA MVP, bodies are coming back on top of draft picks. I need flesh. I need to sell tickets. I need to win some damn games this year. Because even tanking ain't like it used to be. Ask the Lakers.
Ask the Knicks.
Right. Tanking ain't what it used to be, folks. You're not guaranteed squat. A team that had a 6.6% chance just won the number one pick. And so Yes, NBA free agency is wild and woolly. And I get it that they just got a motherload of unprotected first-round picks, but here's the problem. If you're Oklahoma City, you just traded with the Clippers. They're going to be really good for a while. Where do you think those unprotected first-round picks are going to be? 28? 30?
Yeah.
It ain't going to be great. So for me, they're going to have to get more than just assets. They're going to have to get some flesh. And so Oklahoma City is going from a team that 5 or 6 years ago was everybody's trendy pick to be the big thing for 5 to 10 more years to last one left, turn the light off.
Yeah.
Because pretty soon it's going to be Danilo Gallinari and whatever Miami agrees to give them. It's crazy what's happened to Oklahoma City, but here we are. All we can do is document it for you. It has been insane. All right, something else that's insane. They allow this to happen every year and that you could go for free. Seriously, I love this event. Golf Brew is coming later this month. Golf Brew 2019 coming at you. And again, you can win a pair of tickets valued at $100 to this year's Golf Brew at Blackham Coliseum. The event is Saturday, July 20 from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. Here's how you enter. Text BREW, B-R-E-W, BREW, to 68683. Again, text BREW to 68683, and you and a friend, I would say you and the wife, but let's be real, you and a friend will be heading to Golf Brew 2019. All right, we got half an hour to go. When we return, going to switch it up a little bit. We've had conversations with coaches at, let's see, Southside, Notre Dame, Rain, Acadiana, Karen Crow, just to name a few over the last couple of months. We're going to add the Mighty Lions to the list next. Rob Poole of Lafayette High, when we return to preview the 2019 season for the Green and White. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll bounce right back in on 103.7 The Game.
It starts now.
A trade to discuss with Russ. I'm Jeff Biggs, and after the big reset.
Back in more of your 6 o'clock hour. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live and taking you home on 103.7 The Game. It's now officially the second week of July. What does that mean? We're all bloodthirsty for football, high school, college, pro, yes, all of it, even some fantasy, and we'll continue to get you the best in high school football previews aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, ready to enter year 4 as the head coach of the Lafayette High Mighty Lions. Rob Poole is our guest. Rob, thanks for joining the program again. How are you this summer?
Going good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk about it so far. I mentioned that it's year 4 for you. I know that year 2 was something that everybody wanted to erase, and you started to put it in the rear view last year, really kind of starting to climb back up the ladder. How do you take that next step forward into 2019?
Well, I think that football is about continuity, and, you know, this is really from last year's staff and this year's staff, I have the same coordinators, you know, working on defense, and Coach Baumelin, I got him from UL, and Coach Preston Bates and Coach Abshire, they're still together. You know, we've been able to work on adding some more coaches on offense, and I hired Kip Duplichamp from Opelousas to be my defensive coordinator. So I'm just helping him with that and working in the back end. But just the phrasing the plays the same way, you know, having this, a lot of the same kids have been in the program for the fourth year. You know, this is my first group that hadn't been coached by anybody else. So I think that just helps with the mindset and with expectations and that kind of thing.
So what was spring like for the Mighty Lions as you kind of got ready for summer workouts?
Well, we trimmed down the time. I thought the last 2 years we tried to do 3 weeks and alternate days so we could do some classroom stuff in between work days. But for a high school kid, I think it's a little bit tougher for them to be able to concentrate for that long. And right there at the end of May, and they're all trying to get ready for summer and finish classes and everything like that. So we trimmed it to two weeks. We went 7 days. And then we scrimmaged Turlings, and I felt like, you know, we matched up with them on the offensive and defensive line. I felt like we were able to make some plays on the perimeter. You know, I thought we had a really good spring, and we left it with a good mindset.
Coach Rob Poole, our guest, talking Lafayette High Mighty Lions football on 103.7 The Game. And I'd love to get I guess, some of your input on the young men that are coming back that you've got a lot of trust in, and maybe they've been some of your leaders from the spring into summer. We'll start on the offensive side of the football. Who would you name there?
I think Zan's our leader. He's our quarterback. He played the back end last year. He started week four on for us. He did a good job coming in and handling that and really winning over some of the seniors and getting them to buy in. And, you know, that year of maturity and then just being in the system and having some experience now playing has really helped, you know, him see the big picture. He's thrown the ball real well this summer in 7-on-7. And, you know, he's one of those guys who's not afraid to tell somebody the truth when they're not doing what they need to do. And I think that's the key thing with us.
Defensively, who are some of the guys, or maybe single out one player who's kind of keeping that accountability on that side of the football?
Well, I think really on defense we have two guys. One is Michael Williams. He's a 2-year starter at defensive end. We can move him around. He can drop and play in coverage, and he also can come off the edge. We actually vote on one of our seniors to wear 21 in honor of Paul Myers, and he won that award without even a vote. We went in to vote on it, and they said, let's give it to Micah. So Michael's going to do that for us. He handles the box, and then Oliver Craddock can play linebacker, outside linebacker, or safety. And both those guys are real quality people, and they have a good influence on the rest of the defense.
Before we talk scheme or kind of orientation of the offense, defense, anything like that, for those that just don't know, that number 21 for Paul Myers, talk about what it means for your program.
Well, when I got there, I noticed there wasn't a 21 in any of the jerseys, and so I started asking questions. And Coach Tully told me the story, and I said, "Well, you know, if it's better to remember somebody by honoring them than just you know retiring that number." I felt like so. We started that first year; we were going to give 21 to someone, and it was Caleb Washington. And then last year it was Ramsey Champagne. So we started a tradition where we vote as a team at the end of spring, and whoever really embodies, you know, who we want them to carry out, you know, doing the right thing on the field, doing the right thing off the field, being a good student, being a good person, we give them 21 to wear.
Getting ready for Lafayette High football with Rob Poole on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. I mentioned scheme. Anything that changes with some of these assistants that have come aboard on either side of the football? Any real changes with how you're going to attack things next year?
Well, I think, you know, for us it's in high school, you can't recruit a body type. So you have to take what you have and try to put the best guys on the field. And then, you know, some things are going to remain the same as far as how we read on defense or the run schemes and our passing concepts. They stay the same, but you may do it out of a different formation. You may change your front a little bit, but you're going to do the same stuff. And I think, you know, with it being year four, the way we read on defense is that's the hardest thing for our kids to learn. I think lining up is a little bit easier. You can teach that without, you know, going through, you're not going to have as many mental mistakes with that. So I think that's the main thing. But, you know, offensively, I felt like last year we could give the ball to Corn a lot, you know, and then throw some sacks and stuff off of it. But with Zan this year, I believe there can be some more RPO stuff where he can count the box and get the ball out. If they give us a look out there, if they're weak in the box, we can run it. So, you know, I feel good about where we're at. And hiring these guys from UL that have been GAs and stuff like that, they have a good understanding of the game and they know how to work. So I've been really impressed with them. And it kind of gives me the freedom to float where I don't have to, you know, have a lot on my shoulders as far as the play call.
Coach, I'm always fascinated with how non-district schedules come together. When I look at yours, at least what maxpreps.com tells me, September 20, week 3 against Patterson, that's been a pretty standard home and home for the Mighty Lions. But I look before that, Generette in week 1, St. Martinville, who had a heck of a year last year in week 2. If I'm not mistaken, those are new. How'd you get them on the schedule?
Well, actually, St. Martinville, we played them already. And in the past, we played St. Thomas more the first game of a home and home, and then being from somewhere else, like your non-district schedule in Mississippi and Tennessee wasn't a big deal because it had no impact on the playoffs. But then when you get down here with the power system, like who you play in those non-conference games has a huge impact on your season, you know, because you go 3-0 in the first three, you know, and then you're really in our league with the strength of schedule that we have. because of Barb and Acadiana and Como and Sulphur and places like that, Sam Houston, you win one or two games in the league and you're in. So you win four games or you're in, five games you're in. So when you schedule somebody like STM, I mean, it just puts you behind the eight ball because they're such a program that, you know, that wins year in, year out. It's a tough game for us. So I'm not saying that St. Martinville is the same way. You know, they're winners, but that league is a little bit different, you know. And to me, that if we can get off on a good note there and get some wins, I think it changes the complexion of the season and it helps our kids with confidence.
Is Max Preps telling me the truth that all three of those non-district games are at home? And if so, how important could that be to get off to a good start?
Well, our first five are at home. So it just felt like that in the division. And the Generac game's going to be at home both years. So those other home-and-home games, we just got the first game at home. So those first five at home are huge for us. I think it helps for you to have a routine to stay simple and do the same thing every week and, you know, play in front of your home crowd. And, you know, hopefully we can get some folks there and have a good experience.
I'm sure as we finish up with Rob Poole, head football coach at Lafayette High. Coach, I'm sure if I were to ask you your biggest takeaways from 3 years in this seat now, you could probably give me 30 to 40 minutes, right? We just talked some of it on scheduling and how to deal with that in Louisiana, some of it with kids that are in your program and have not been coached by anybody else now, new assistants. But anything that's kind of overarching that you would say, you know what, I'm a lot more comfortable here than I was 3 years ago?
Well, the thing about, like when Coach Napier comes into UL, you know, he's going to build his staff, you know, exactly how he wants it right off the bat. You know, if he keeps anybody, it's going to be based on, you know, if he really, really wants to keep them. You don't inherit it. And then when it comes to, like, changing the culture, you know, you have that same philosophy coming out of everybody's mouth, you know, because most of the time those guys know everybody will. When you come to Lafayette High, and then, you know, Coach Freddie's son was going to the ninth grade at STM, and a couple of coaches leave, it changes how you have to operate things. And then, you know, a lot of what we do as high school coaches is hiring people we know. Well, I came 6 hours away. I don't know anybody, so I've got to rely on somebody's information they give me on them. So, you know, it takes a little while to build your staff more than anything because you just, you know, it's a little bit harder with when people leave the school or they come in, you know, and you throw in there a lot of your highs. It hasn't been good as far as having a winning season since 06. And, you know, you're having to change all that too. And we went from split back veer to, you know, a spread offense. The coach Wainwright at Sulphur that's recently moved on, but he told me the first year before he played, he's like, it takes 4 years to build a program and it takes 4 weeks to lose it. So, you know, you got to go to work and, you know, you got to stay focused on what you know works. And, you know, and then I'm young, so I'm constantly learning new things. But just as far as, you know, getting that staff, I think this is amazing. If you look at places like Acadiana, like every one of their football coaches can coach. You know, every one of those guys is knowledgeable of the scheme. And so I've got to do a good job of teaching my assistants what I want them to do and then letting them be coaches and figure it out.
Great look at what it's like to come in, inherit a program, and then be on the come up and build it. And you certainly have done that from 2017 to 18, plus three in the win column. Mighty Lions going to see if they can continue that climb in 2019. Coach Poole, again, thanks for doing this. I know it's here in the heat of the summer, but people are starting to get excited about football, so this is a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate it.
Mighty Lions last year won three times, as I mentioned, once. Pretty resounding win on the road at Patterson. Also took care of business against LaGrange. That ball game was at home. And then after that, took down New Iberia, the Nish Yellow Jackets, on the road. So two wins away from home, one at Lafayette High. We'll see what comes this year. But again, game one, it's a homer. And the first five are the first one's against Generette. All right, taking our final break of the program. When we return, it's the part the women and children clamor for. Taking you under the dome, NBA style. Clint's time to shine. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you know we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. right back in one more time. And we go from the Mighty Lions to what we sure hope is a mighty finish to today's program. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And once more, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. All right, Clint, I know. Chomping at the bit to take everyone under the dome. You want your own take on next year's NBA. After all, it's been one of our main topics on this Monday, July the 8th. Trading places from Toronto to the Clippers, and not the Lakers, is Kawhi Leonard. Nice consolation prizes, LeBron. You get Danny Green, you get Boogie Cousins, and so forth and so on kind of the also-ran pile. But enough of that, at least for a second. I want to remind everyone, if you haven't yet checked out my weekly reboot podcast, you need to boot up. It's available for you and completely free. Go to 1037thegame.com or our free 1037 The Game mobile app. Just click or tap on demand. You'll find it, weekly reboot podcast, and it's labeled for today, July the 8th, also labeled for today's topic. I think you'll dig it. Top five reasons to be optimistic on the upcoming LSU football season. And yes, we rank them. Not just a list today, it's a ranked list. 5-1, Joe Burrow occurs somewhere. Listen in, you'll figure out just where. Again, it's the weekly reboot podcast, and it's brought to you by the Cigar Cove, soon to be moving, trading places themselves, and upgrading locations. But for now, keep up with them, thecigarcove.com. All right, Clint, the time is finally yours. We know pretty well at this point, 8 days into July, where the chips are going to fall. Who's going to land whom in free agency? I understand that the Kawhi Leonard deal took everyone a bit for a loop, but again, now we know, and it's time to play favorites. We're told not to do that with our children, maybe not do that with specific shows on Acadiana sports station, but let's keep it 100. Your oldest is probably your favorite, and this is your favorite show on 103.7 The Game. We get it. We're humans too. Clint, it's time for your favorites. First the East, then the West. Let's get after it.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You know, whenever you threw this idea at me at first, I was going largely with the Philadelphia 76ers. The way everything's set up right now, I feel like they still got a solid chance to do so. Sure, your boy Ben Simmons can't necessarily nail a three-point shot to save his life, but they've still got a lot of solid pieces. But I'm going to go with the Miami Heat. But if and only if they can lock down Russell Westbrook, if that trade can happen. Because if they have Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook, those two guys can wind up making a pretty ferocious and dynamic duo. If I do say so myself, that could be enough to take over the Eastern Conference. Now that Kawhi Leonard and a lot of other notable players, they're out the door. You're going to see the Raptors kind of regress a little bit, a lot like what I talked about a few weeks ago, with the comparing them to the Florida Marlins circa 03. But of course, looking at the Western Conference, it is anybody's pick. And right here, right now, I'm going bold prediction here. And why not do that? After all, I'm probably going to wind up being wrong about this. But I think the favorite right now has to be, without a doubt, the Los Angeles Clippers. PG-13, Kawhi Leonard, they control the league now. We've seen what Kawhi Leonard can do. He is a dynasty killer. But can he be a dynasty creator now that he's jumped over to La La Land, but over with the Clippers, which I feel like was one of the most baller moves of all time. So East, I got to go with the Philadelphia 76ers / Miami Heat if the Westbrook trade actually happens, or I wind up going another route and go ahead and roll with the Western Conference and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Not bad, and some of that's certainly chalk, but I don't think there's as much chalk as there used to be. And isn't that the whole point? If Kawhi had gone to the Lakers, that would have been your most formidable big three in the association, right? LeBron, AD, Kawhi, and they all kind of play different positions as well. And so I know that we're firmly entrenched into the universal basketball age, right? Positionless basketball. The Ben Simmons era is kind of how I think about it. If you could play, then you can play, and you will play anywhere, right? 1 through 5 doesn't matter. Get it off the board, dribble it, and then go finish on the other side. Maybe you can even retain a jump shot. That's the part where Benny Simmons still struggles. But my point is, that's not where Kawhi went. And suddenly you have, I think, a real decent chance to have 2 to 3, maybe even 4 legitimate conference title contenders on each side of the divide, Eastern and Western conferences. So again, well done, CD. Only 2 days this week inside the studio. Your boy's living right. Today, tomorrow, we'll be here inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. But let me run it down for you. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Willie Nelson style, on the road again. Wednesday, I'll be live 4 to 6 p.m. from the Quick Slant 7-on-7 tournament. That'll be live from Cougar Field on the campus of St. Thomas More, up inside the press box. Very much excited about that. We'll have live interviews with players and coaches, live updates. Wednesday will be the smaller schools day. Thursday, I'll be at the Taproom River Ranch beginning at 4. We'll continue to get live updates from the bigger schools and their involvement in the Quick Slant 7-on-7. Finally, Friday, celebrating life with you at Ruffino's on the River. That'll begin at 4, and I'm working on some pretty awesome guests to join me in person. I mean, seriously, that list has been great, I think, for the last 2.5 months. Kevin Falk, Trev Falk. We've had high school coaches Josh Fontenot, Louis Cook. We've had Dr. Brian Maggard, Billy Napier. A lot of fun people have come in. Nico Yanko to do live interviews at Ruffino's on the River. We keep it going in the right direction. And we do it not just for great radio. We want you to come out and join us when you get a chance. So once more in the studio tomorrow, and then 3 the hard way on the road. Got to thank our guest today, Jeff Horchek, Ruffin Rodriguez, Cody Warsham, and about 15 or 20 minutes ago, Rob Poole from Lafayette High Football. Our cup has truly runneth over on a Monday. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Clint and I will be right back at it tomorrow at 4 p.m. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be back live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.